It brings us great pleasure to share this introduction to Bashar with you. It's our intention to make this information available to those who seek it. We thank you for supporting the transformation of our planet.
Hello, everyone. Can you all hear me okay all the way in the back? Yes? I know you'll have no problem hearing Bashar at all. He's much louder than I am. I will begin very quickly so that we can sort of get going into this, give everyone a little bit of a synopsis for those that are unfamiliar with my particular channeling, bring everyone up to speed very rapidly, since I know we're a little bit pressed for time. This is a channeling. A channeling is a state. I believe personally that channeling is something that everyone can do and that everyone actually does do from time to time. When you get out of your own way, when you allow your own creative energy to come through, unimpeded, unanalyzed, so to speak, unfiltered, unjudged, in the negative sense, when an actor becomes the part, when a singer is lost in the song, that in essence is a channeling state. Everyone can do that. But it's also apparent that when you can get into a channeling state, you have the ability to access other layers of your own consciousness and apparently other consciousnesses as well, from other realities, other dimensions. I say apparently only because I have my own experience that allows me to present Bashar in the way that I do, but there's nothing about this that I can prove to you in terms of Bashar actually being an extraterrestrial. I cannot prove to you that it's not another portion of my own consciousness. And so I don't insist that you have to believe that Bashar is an extraterrestrial in order to get something out of this. The reason I do this is because the information seems to have the ability to help people make the kinds of positive changes they want to make in their lives. people do get an effect when they apply the information that Bashar dispenses. So for that reason, I do the channeling and have been doing so for now 13 years. The way that this started, just to give you a brief background, is that about 23 years ago, I had two very close broad daylight UFO sightings over Los Angeles, where I live. First time about 150 feet up, second time only about 70 feet up. Each time an equilateral triangular ship, dark gray metallic in color. First time about 30 seconds, second time about 45 seconds. These sightings started me investigating UFO phenomenology, and of course, especially back then, there wasn't a lot of separation between different paranormal fields. So if you went to the bookstore looking for UFO books, you usually also saw psychic functioning books and other things on the same shelf. So eventually I ran across other concepts in metaphysical studies, such as channeling. And 10 years after the UFO sighting, I was introduced to a channel who was practicing at the time. The entity coming through that channel offered eventually to teach channeling for whoever might be interested. Now, I went into that class not because I thought I wanted to become a channel, but just because I wanted to learn more about the idea, the process, investigate it, see how such a thing could be taught. But in the class, which was essentially a series of guided meditations to help you become more sensitive to other levels of your own consciousness or whatever you wanted to use it for, when in a receptive state, I received what appeared to be, or what felt like, a telepathic message from Bashar and his people. In that one instant, an actual memory came back of having made an agreement before this life to do this with him. I understood in that moment that the UFO sighting had been shown to me on purpose to get me to start moving in the direction I went, so that by the time it came time to do the channeling, I would be ready. And the basic telepathic message was, now that you remember we made this agreement, and now that you know it's time to begin, is this something you still want to do? It was offered up as a choice. I had to think about it for a while. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going crazy, hearing voices in my head, hallucinating, or having side effects from the meditation. But I soon received enough unsolicited outside validation that something real was happening. And so I decided, well, why not? Let's just see what happens. Let's just go for it. And one thing led to another, and it expanded from there. The word itself, to give you a little bit of background on Bashar, is not actually his name. In their society, as he's explained it, speaking of him now just simply as he presents himself as a real extraterrestrial being. Their society is telepathic at this point in their evolution. They don't use names. They don't need them. He knew we needed something to call him other than, hey, you. So the word was there in my mind at the moment of the telepathic message that I received. It is actually an Arabic word. My background is partly Arabic. I can only assume that's part of the reason why it was chosen. But I don't speak Arabic. I had no idea what the word meant until people that did speak Arabic came up and told me that the word has a very specific meaning, has several meanings actually, but a very specific meaning in certain Arabic dialects, and that is bringer of good news or messenger. So even though it is not literally his name, we use it as such, it is appropriate to what he's doing. And you can certainly call him by that word as his name. The way that this basically unfolds is, as I understand what's happening, is a telepathic connection is made, and I begin to function as a translation device for this being. He is not here, he's not inhabiting my body, he's not speaking English. He's sending thought pulses that are automatically translated into the language that I was raised to understand, which is English. From time to time in the past, Bashar has actually come through other channels around the world, and he's actually come through, at one time, a Japanese woman, which I had the honor to witness. You can recognize it exactly as the same personality, even though, of course, through her, it was coming out in Japanese. An odd sensation for me, to say the least. But nevertheless, as just simply part of my own experience of helping me validate, just to keep going with doing what I'm doing, again, I stress to you, you don't need to believe that he is who he is. You just need to really allow the information out, and if it finds its way to you, if you find that it's something that works for you, by all means, use it. If not, I know you will find what you need somewhere else. There's no insistence upon this at all. But I will tell you this, that when Bashar comes through, for those that are familiar with him, a word of warning, he is exceedingly direct. he has an extreme amount of conviction about what he is talking about. It doesn't mean you have to believe him, but you will see that whatever he's talking about, he utterly believes and it works for him. I have seen that when people do apply, in my own life and other people who've come to me, some of the principles he talks about, it does seem to have an effect, it does seem to work. So all I can say is give it a shot and see what happens. I do not know in this particular format. I know that we're going to be doing what, I guess for lack of a better term, is a workshop tomorrow. I do not know that in this particular format there will be an opportunity for questions. I think in the workshop there probably will be, so that you can interact with him more directly. For now, I don't know exactly what he's going to do, but I'm just going to let him through and see what happens. Bottom line to all of this, really, is to have a good time. Just have fun. The more fun you have with him, the more fun he will have with you. He will talk to you like he's probably known you for a million years. And if you get a chance for some reason to interact with him either now or in the workshop tomorrow, all you have to do is talk to him informally like a friend that you've also known for a long time. I don't know that there's anything else I really need to say at this point other than just to let it happen and allow you to experience Bashar for yourselves. I want to thank you all very much for being here and having me here. I appreciate it. Have a good time, and I'll see you all later. say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? We will take this opportunity once again to thank, first of all, each and every one of you individually, and all of you together collectively, for allowing for the co-creation of this interaction and this communication through this particular gate, on this day, in this way, at this time. Each and every time you allow our civilization to communicate with your civilization in this manner, it affords us an opportunity to experience through each and every one of you a different view of the infinite. And this for us expands our understanding of all the different ways that creation can express itself. And so we thank you for this great gift. We would now like to begin this transmission with the following ideas. First and foremost, we understand that many of you are now beginning to explore notions of what you label us to be, the concept of interaction with extraterrestrials. We also recognize, however, that your world is going through a great transformation of spirit, a great transformation of consciousness. To us, this is really the most important of the two ideas, that you yourselves have more and more interaction with your true selves, with your core being, with your essential spirituality and consciousness, more than the idea of desiring to interact with extraterrestrial beings. This will happen, as you say, as par for the course in your language, but the idea is that the most likely way that this will come about, the most likely way that you will allow such interactions to take place, is, as we have said from time to time, to meet us halfway. We are not going to do it for you. We're not going to take responsibility for your lives. We have our own lives to live. Thank you very much. It keeps us very busy. We do not have time to live your lives for you, as well as our own. The idea, therefore, however, is that we do wish to play, we do wish to interact, but as equals, by reflecting to each and every one of you in all the ways that are possible to do so through this particular methodology, that you yourselves are in fact equal to us and to any idea that you can conceive within your consciousness, and that we simply will enjoy taking the time to remind you of this fact, to remind you of what you already know to be true within yourselves, to put you, in that sense, in a state, to help you put yourselves in a state that gets you back in touch with your true core essential selves so that you can function in the way that you were designed by creation to function, and that is as a reflection of the infinite. When you learn, when you allow, when you remember to do that for yourselves, you will change the vibration of not only yourself individually, but of course of the entire reality that you occupy. And by changing that frequency in much the same way that you change the channels on your television machine, you will change the program that you get. By changing that frequency, by accelerating it, by stepping it up through the method of being more yourself, getting closer in alignment to your true core vibration, you will create a reality that makes it more likely and more probable and more possible for any other being that operates on a similar level to be able to interact with each and every one of you individually and collectively. But first and foremost, the people you must meet, the aliens you must come into contact with, are those portions of your consciousness that have for thousands of years been suppressed within you and have become disguised in the idea of fear, in the idea of denial, in the idea of all of these fragmentations that have occurred in your consciousness. We are not in any way, shape, or form judging you in a negative sense when we say this. Believe us, we love you unconditionally. The idea really is that the reason we are doing this, in a sense, aside from what we get out of interacting with you, is because we know what you are capable of. We can see more of you than you allow yourselves to see of yourselves. It is easy for us to see the idea of the totality of what you can create on your reality. We believe in you utterly, absolutely, and totally. However, of course, our belief in you is not the point. Your belief in yourselves is the only thing that will make a difference and create an ability for you to see for yourselves that you really are unlimited beings in the way that you were fashioned to be. So, while we may address from time to time the concepts of interaction and recognition of what you label us to be as extraterrestrial beings, we will certainly take time to focus on what we believe to be the more critical and important point, and that is getting in touch with your true selves, for if you do not allow yourselves to be who you really are, there's no one for us to meet. You're not home. We come knocking on the door and you're not there. You're off somewhere looking for who you think you're supposed to be, and there is no answer at the door. So in order for us to be capable one day of meeting, not that that is the most important reason to do this, we urge you to discover who you are and live in the present, here and now, because only in the here and now will we eventually meet. So the ideas that we will most likely be discussing are notions of how to become more of yourself, how to remember who you are, and not just on a philosophical level, but on a pragmatic, practical, physiological level of physics, how to apply these principles into your day-to-day reality to get an effect. For we understand that just as we are, you are physiological beings, and you must understand how to connect the idea of spirit and mind with body in order to complete the circuit that allows you to have the experience of spirituality in the physical plane and not just relegate the concepts of spirituality to higher philosophical and etheric realms with no practical application in the realm you decided to experience. For there is nothing unspiritual about physicality. It all depends on how you use it. That's the point. To a very great degree, to put this in a very simplistic idea or foundational fashion, one of the greatest acts of spirituality that you can possibly achieve is to simply live your physical life to the fullest that you can. And this brings us to the crux and the critical point of the things that we wish to reflect to each and every one of you. The critical point is this: how to discover the vibrational frequency of who you are. How to allow yourself to continue to create that frequency, moment to moment, day to day, in your life as you desire to, as you choose to. We will be in further conversations, in further transmissions, what you would call tomorrow of your time, discussing in greater detail some of the fundamental elements of physical reality so that you can get, as you say in your language, a better handle on these principles. But for now, we will give you an overview, an understanding, so that you will at least from this encounter walk away with all the basics in place and allow yourself the understanding to know that it is up to you to put these things into practical application in your life. The first principle, really, where this is all concerned, comes down to the idea, and you have heard it many times, we are not saying we are delivering this to you for the first time. It has been around for thousands of your years. Follow your excitement. Why is this so important? Why do you hear about this all the time? Why do you hear that follow your bliss, act on your joy, is such an important principle of life at this time? Of course, all of this must be based in unconditional love, connection of your alignment with the infinite, but in terms of the beginning of the tools that you can use in your physiological reality, following your excitement is of paramount importance, and I will tell you why. The idea following is this. What you typically call the sensation of excitement, the physical sensation of joy. And this doesn't mean you have to be jumping up and down all the time. It can be a peaceful, centered, relaxed sense of beingness. That can be excitement too. But that vibration of excitement is... Oh, are you paying attention? All right, just wanting to make sure there is someone receiving on the other end of this transmission. Excitement is the physical translation, of the vibrational resonance that is your true core natural being. So, whenever you act on any opportunity that presents itself in your life synchronistically that contains the highest degree of excitement, what you are saying is, yes, I believe in who I was created to be. I believe that this opportunity, this situation, this circumstance, this condition, whatever it may be, that contains at this particular moment in my life the highest amount of excitement possible out of all the things I have the option to do, this right now is the most exciting one. If you understand that excitement is your true frequency, then you will act on it without hesitation, trusting that to do so will maintain the alignment with your core, and that that situation, no matter how you have been taught to define it on the surface, will bring about all the elements necessary to support you in whatever way, shape, and form is the path of least resistance in allowing you to be A, who you are, and B, lead you to the next most exciting circumstance. This is an automatic function of acting on your joy without hesitation, without negative judgment, without overanalyzation. By acting on your joy, you are making a statement to the universe. This is who I am. Support me as you have always supported me in whatever degree of belief I had. The idea, therefore, is that by making what you call the leap of faith, by acting on your joy as best as you can at every given moment, you are showing by your behavior that you believe this is who you are, and it is that degree of conviction that is required for the universe to be able to reflect back to you the same degree of support that you are willing to exhibit in terms of your degree of conviction that this is who you are. Are you all following along? This is not philosophy, this is physics. What you put out is what you get back. This is the third law of creation. By the way, there are only four. Number one, you exist. Can't do much about that. Number two, the one is all, the all is one. That is also a law of creation. Number three, as we have just outlined, what you put out is what you get back. Number four, change is the only constant, except for the first three, which never change. That's it. Anything that you experience in your reality after that is a combination and a variation of these four principles. Everything you experience is a manifestation of your understanding and your ability to clearly and consciously align with these four principles. In a euphemistic terminology, as you say in your language, to go with the flow. The idea being that going with the flow is a full recognition and a conscious awareness and a willingness to act on these four principles in every circumstance that comes up in your life. Number one, you exist. Number two, the one is all, the all is one. Number three, what you put out is what you get back. Number four, change is the only constant. Again, we will go into greater detail in these ideas and explain exactly how these can be utilized in your physiological reality in the next transmission. But suffice to say, you can begin to recognize that these carry within them the very seeds of your ability to understand that the experience you call physical reality is really nothing but a mirror. Literally, physical reality is nothing. It is no thing. Nothing. No thing. Use the analogy on your planet of the device that you have that is called a glass mirror. You understand, if you think about it for a moment, that the reflection you see of your face in the mirror is not literally in the mirror. The glass has reflected all the light of your face back to you. That's why you see the reflection, which means there is nothing in the mirror. No thing. The mirror is actually blank. By being a perfect reflector, it holds on to none of the light and gives it all back to you. That's why you see the reflection. Physiological reality, take me literally, is a mirror. It is just a more complex mirror, a holographic mirror, a multidimensional mirror, so that you don't always recognize all the reflections as you. But believe me, they are. All the reflections are you. And I mean literally every object, person, place, and thing, every situation, every circumstance, every moment of time and space is you being reflected back to yourself from the particular point of view you chose to express at that particular moment. Does that make sense to you? When you can begin to understand this as a true physics principle, you will begin to realize this doesn't always mean that what's going on in your reality has to be a exact one-to-one reflection in terms of what it might mean for one person as opposed to what it might mean for you specifically, but the fact that you are experiencing it means it has something to do with you, and you can always learn something from the reflection, because there always is a reflection. And if you begin to understand it as a reflection, you will begin to understand that you are at cause of your life, that you yourself have the opportunity, if you treat reality as a reflection, to examine it and see if you like the reflection you're getting. So that if you do not prefer it, and I don't mean judge it, do not prefer it means just observe that it is not aligned with your frequency. There's a difference between negative judgment and preference. Pay attention to your definitions. We will get to that in a moment. The idea, however, is that you can recognize that if you do not prefer the reflection, then you know that it is a matter of changing what you put out in order to get back a different reflection. And that allows you to know you are always capable of making that choice. You have the free will to choose on that level how you will experience yourself in the concept, in the modality you call physiological reality. Again, use the mirror analogy. If you see your face in the mirror with a frown, do you stand there and say, "All right, I insist, mirror reflection, I will smile, I will be happy, but you smile first, otherwise I won't"? Who do you think is going to win that battle? Believe me, the mirror can outweigh you. The idea to understand, therefore, is that if you want to see a smile reflected in that mirror, you have to smile first, or there will be no reflection of a smile. Therefore, by stretching this into the physiological reality analogy even further, you understand that many of you have been trained, have been taught to insist that you will only base your behavior on the things that happen to you. I will be happy if. I will be happy when. And not a second before. I'm putting my foot down. I will be happy if this happens. I will be happy when you do this for me. You all sound familiar in this, do you not? From time to time. The idea to simply understand again is this. If you understand the principle we are discussing now, you will realize it is more a matter of, I will be happy because that's what I want to be. When you are happy because that's what you want to be, and I mean truly the vibration of happiness, not just pretending, not just covering it off, oh yes, I'm happy, I'm very happy. Not just in denial of things you need to feel, things you need to face, fears that you need to experience in order to integrate them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about avoidance. I am talking about the idea of true vibrations of joy and happiness. When you choose to be that vibration, then again, what's the third law? What you put out is what you get back. The second, the instant, the moment you are that vibration, the reflection in your physical reality has no choice but to reflect a reality that corresponds
to the vibration of your ecstasy, because the universal reflecting mirror doesn't have a mind of its own. It can't contradict you. It's not going to argue with you. Yes, I see that you're happy, but I'm not going to give you a happy reflection. No. It doesn't have that capability. It is only nothing. Nothing at all. It is only the reflection of what you put there, and that's it. So, if you will be the vibration of happiness, you will see experientially that you will get the reflection in all the ways that are reflective of your happiness. To the degree that your happiness vibration is turned on, you will get that reality. However, here's that clause. However, pay attention. Here's what you call in your language the fine print. This is what we perceive in observing your society trips many of you up and gets you into trouble. Many of you will still place a condition on your happiness even when you think you're doing it this way. Oh yes, all right, yes, I will be happy because I know that if I'm happy, then I'll get this happy reality. Then I'll get what I want. Then I'll get what I'll desire. If, then, you are still making it conditional on what happens outside you, and there is no outside. So the idea to really bring it down to focus is to understand this. In order for the principle to really work, in order for reality to reflect back to you the true reflection of your happiness, you have to be happy with no expectation that you will get a reflection back. That's how it works. That's what makes it effortless. That's what makes it flawless. That's what makes it infinite. That's what makes it pristine. That's what makes it gracious. That's what makes it beautiful. That's what makes it awesome. Is that you understand that all of this, you don't even have to think about what will come back. You simply can take it for granted. You can know. You can simply already have the gratitude to the infinite to know that when you are happy, nothing else can happen but happy reflections. And you don't have to put a condition on your happiness that says, yes, I will be happy because it will then get me what I want. You have to be happy with no expectation whatsoever. I mean zero. 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 Because what is zero? The center. The null point. This is where you exist, in the here and now, in the true unknown. Many of you have been for thousands of years afraid of what you have labeled the unknown. I will tell you this in all honesty and earnesty. Make a friend of the unknown. The unknown is the only place, and I mean this with all my heart, the unknown is the only place you will ever actually discover your true self. Period. Take that to heart. Leap into the unknown. Don't be afraid of it. Or if you are, be afraid of it and leap anyway. Because in the unknown, you're only going to discover, I guarantee, I promise you, you're only going to discover more of yourself. Because that's all there is to discover in your experience. You know why? I'll tell you. Thank you. Because of a wonderful happenstance of your particular English language, you can get a very strong reinforcement of exactly why it works this way. Why you will only discover yourself in the unknown. That is because, as your language so beautifully points out, you are the universe. The universe is only made up of you. And that's all you will ever find in your particular universe, is you. Your expression of the infinite. If you wish to call it God, if you wish to call it Goddess, if you wish to call it all that is, as we do, it does not matter because all that is doesn't care what you call it. Because all that is knows that anything you could think of is a name that is already contained within all that is, and it will accept it as its own name because everything is within all that is. That's why it's called all that is. Because there is nothing outside. If it were, there would be all that is plus what's outside. But all that is exactly as it sounds. It is all that is, and there isn't anything else, because what is simply is. The idea, therefore, is to understand that what you will always discover will simply be all that is expressing itself through the unique portion of all that is you were created to be. Remember the second law, the one is all, the all is one. Every component of the all that is, all of you, all of us, every individuated being, every individuated concept, is the whole expressing itself as a part. Important point. I'll rewind that and repeat it. Because we understand that you have been trained to think segregationally. Sometimes individuals on your planet may miss the point. All of you are, yes, a part of the whole. But as a part of the whole, you are the whole expressing itself as a part of the whole. Big difference than just thinking of yourself as a part of the whole without the other side. You have to understand yourself holographically. It is this and that, not this or that. Anything you can imagine is this and that. It is all inclusive. You have to have both sides, the heads and the tails, in order to have a coin. Without one side, you don't have a coin. So you are the part. You are the whole. You are both, one and the same. But expressing the whole as a part. The idea, therefore, is to understand yourself this way, express yourself more holistically, and you will understand how to experience more of the whole. You will get, in a sense, more of an expanded experience when you express yourself as if you are more of the whole. The idea being that there is a whole picture that you might liken unto a large puzzle that has a picture on it, as we know many of you like to play with on your planet. You understand that the puzzle is made of many small, individual, differently shaped pieces. Now, we have observed on your planet that, for the course of, say, several thousand of your years of time, you have been trained to try and be a shape you are not. To try and be this shape, to try and be that shape. Fit here, fit there. Come here, belong this way. Do this, do that, do not be yourself. That won't work. Stop dreaming. Stop daydreaming. Stop being yourself. That doesn't fit in. Be who we say you need to be. And so now you've become experts at being someone other than yourself. The idea being, therefore, is that when you do that, you are no longer the shape you were originally made in. If you are no longer, as a puzzle piece, the shape that fits in the whole you were originally made for, then you cannot support the creation of the whole picture because you no longer fit. Only by being your natural self will you be your natural shape. And only by being your natural shape will you fit in the original space designed just for little old you. And by fitting in that space, do you then act in service to every other piece? Because then you support the whole, which supports all the other pieces who are willing to be their true natural shape. That's how it works. Are you understanding? All right. I trust you understand that you are applauding for yourselves. Because all I am doing is reflecting back to you what you already know, but may have forgotten for a little while. That's all there is to it. You have forgotten. You know all of this. I am telling you nothing new at all. In fact, I will tell you a deep, dark secret. It would be impossible for me to tell you what I am telling you if you didn't already contain it. Why? Because your reality is what? A reflection. And I am in your reality a reflection of the portion of you that already knows all of this. So it could be said that right now you're talking to yourself. So thank you for being willing to be crazy enough to talk to yourself, to talk to the portion of yourself that knows all of this and is willing to believe all of this and is willing to incorporate all of this into the reality so that you can get the effect. Now, this idea of all of these ways of being that you have gotten used to over time, what does that all, as you say in your language, boil down to? Once again, I will tell you, thank you very much. The idea really comes down to definition. Definition. What you believe. The blueprint of your reality. What you believe. How you define what is possible. That's what creates the experience you have called physical reality. Because there is no physical reality. That's what physical reality is. There is no physical reality aside from what you define it to be. That's what physical reality is. So, when you are taught, this is the definition that is true, believe in nothing else, that's the reality you get. Why? Third law. When you finally, however, if you ever do, realize that you are only creating that reality or attracting, more specifically, that reality by the definition you are giving off, what you put out, what you get back, by the definition radiation, vibration, resonance, at the frequency you are resonating at, which every single belief has a different frequency, so by the frequency you give off, that determines the experience you get back that then reinforces the belief that originally created that reality experience. And on and on and on, it escalates from there until you break the chain by saying, wait a minute, I created this, I attracted this by what I believed is the strongest, most likely, most possible definition within my belief system structure. Well, is that what I prefer to believe, yes or no? No, then what do I prefer to believe? Without judging the old definition, I prefer to believe this instead. Then as you recreate a new definition of what you now believe to be true and apply that, implement it into your belief system personality structure and behave as if you believe it. Critical point, behave as if you believe it. Then, once again, as we have said before, you will see quite rapidly that that belief, that definition of reality will be reflected back to you as the reality you are now capable of experiencing. Belief, emotion, behavior, action. These are the three keys of all manifestation. Belief, as we have said, is like unto the blueprint of the house that you wish to build. Emotion, emotion, energy, motion are the builders of the house that bring the blueprint into manifestation. That's why excitement is so important. That's why every emotion activates the strongest belief it is aligned to. So, if you have strong negative belief systems, what kind of emotion do you think you're going to get most strongly? Fear. Because that's what's going to activate those belief systems into manifestation. And that's what your behavior and your action is going to reflect. Fearful attitudes, fearful approaches, fearful expectations, and that whole gamut of tools that goes along with reinforcing the concept of fear. However, also, you can understand it from the other side of the coin, that by having a positive, creative belief system structure, then the idea of excitement comes into play, and that emotion will reinforce the manifestation of that set and array of belief system definitional structures. Then the behavior, the action, that is like the building materials and the quality of the building materials of the house that manifests. So, if you know that your blueprint contains a line that doesn't belong there or a line that's off kilter, and you know that your builders, your emotions, are not really into their job of building this house, and you know that the building materials, the behavior and the actions and the thought processes are not really up to par, what kind of a house do you think you're going to get, and why should you be surprised when it crumbles to the ground? Go back to the blueprint. Find out where something doesn't align with who you know you are. Find the definition that doesn't work for you. Find out where you first bought into that definition. Most likely you will find for most of you, it is through no fault of their own, from your parents when you were growing up in what they believed to be true and imparted onto you telepathically from before birth. By the time you are approximately 3 of your years of age, you are usually very rigidly locked into their belief system structure. Because you know you had to accept their beliefs in order to survive, because you recognized, oops, these are the people that are going to take care of me, I'd better toe the line and find out what they believe in, otherwise they're not going to support me. So I will open up like the little innocent flower that I am and swallow every single thing they feed me, hook, line, and sinker. Whoops, that didn't taste too good, but I'd better hold on to it, because if I don't, they're going to get awfully angry. They won't love me. You see where this all comes from? The idea, therefore, is again with no blame, but unconditional love to recognize that they did the best they could with the belief system definitions they were spoon-fed. But the idea is now to understand that you have a choice. You have come to a point in transition on your planet at this time where you realize that you can break the chain. You can allow yourself the opportunity to realize it is the product of your definition. You can change that definition. You can change your upbringing, literally. You can change the past, literally, because everything stems from the present. You can thus recreate yourself, quite literally, very really, into a new persona, a new being, and allow the reflection of reality to be presented to that new person that is representative of who it is you decide in this moment to be with your new definition. It's really, again, as simple as that. But you have to go about doing it. And it starts with redefining all the things that you were taught to define, re-examining, looking at everything and saying, does this definition work for me? Or what would I prefer as a new definition of this situation? Negative, positive, what do I prefer? Let's begin with a couple of examples so that you can understand exactly how this works. The idea to begin with perhaps would be the idea of habit. The word in your language, habit. Most of you, we have found in our interactions with you, will define the concept of habit. Something I can't seem to stop doing. No matter how hard I try, I just keep doing it over and over and over again. What's wrong with me? I can't stop. All right, fair enough. But you see, the only reason it seems to be so difficult is because of what you define a habit to be. If I may be so bold, I would like to take an opportunity now to share with you our civilization's definition of a habit. May I? Why, thank you so very much. Are you paying attention? All right. Are you having a good time? All right. Habit, as you say, .. Definition. A habit is something you do that you don't know you're doing. Once you know you're doing it, you don't have it anymore. It's gone. If you appear to keep doing it, it's because for some reason you choose to. Ooh, responsibility. Oh no, responsibility. You mean I have to take responsibility for the fact that I keep doing this? I can't just foist it off on the idea that it's a habit as an excuse? Nope. Not once you know you have the habit. It's like the idea of being outside of the forest in order to know that you were in a forest. You have to be able to be outside it to look back and say, oh yes, that was a forest. Up until the moment I got out of it, it was just a bunch of trees. But now that I'm standing outside of it, I can see it for what it was. It was a great and vast forest. But now that I can see it, that means I'm no longer in it. So when you know you have a habit, that does not mean it's the beginning of the process of changing it. It means it's the end. You don't have it anymore. Now, if you keep appearing to do it, it's because you have a definition of a habit that says, this is difficult. Now that I'm aware of it, I have to go through some lengthy process full of struggle and effort in order to divest myself of this horribly difficult behavior pattern. I know this is just going to take years and years and years. Well, ask yourself at that moment, what would you be getting out of it to allow it to take so long? How is it serving you to procrastinate at knowing that you don't have it anymore? That's where responsibility comes in. And again, in line with the idea of redefining things, take the negative definition off of responsibility. It doesn't mean blame, or it certainly doesn't have to be. It doesn't mean burden. It doesn't mean struggle if you don't want it to. Responsibility, dot, dot. The ability to respond, period. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want the ability to respond to something, to be creative, to act? That's what responsibility is, your ability to respond instead of react to these ideas. So take responsibility, demand responsibility, insist on responsibility. Believe me, it's the most fun. Because when you take responsibility, you are at choice. You are self-empowered. You know you have the ability to choose. You are free to choose. That's freedom. That's self-empowerment. That is also effortless alignment with the unconditional love of the infinite. And by being yourself that way, that, as we have already illustrated, is how you perform the best service to everyone else. Because by being yourself, you then can share the gifts you have spontaneously, creatively, and thus everyone benefits by you just being you. So look to those definitions, find out what they are, and recognize that again, by transforming those definitions, when you hit upon the definition you had, recognize it doesn't work for you, and replace it with a definition that does, you will feel the change within you instantly. You will feel the revelation. You'll feel the expansion. You will know you are a different you. And I mean that literally. Not figuratively, literally. You will be a different you because what you consider your personality to be, your persona, is in a sense nothing but a projection, a mask, a presentation of consciousness. Your personality is not literally who you are in total. So, personality is constructed of those three things we talked about, belief, emotion, and the idea of action, behavior. And as you change any one of those three, you change the person literally that you are. Again, I mean literally, not metaphorically. Literally. No matter what you think you look like in the mirror, I still look the same. You are not the same person, trust me, literally. You are not the same person. The idea of appearing to have the same face is an illusion of continuity that you use as a form of convenience to guide you in the physical reality, but it doesn't mean you're actually the same person. And if you understand you are really, when you make a change, when you make any change, if you understand you are really, 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 really not the same person, do you understand what that means?
I'll tell you.
It means that if you really, in the next moment, are not the same person that was there a moment ago, the you are now doesn't have the same history. You have no more connection to anything that was connected to the person that was there a moment ago you used to think you were. You are literally, at that moment, zero, free to be whatever you define, all the way up and down the timeline, because past and future come from the present. What you define in the present is what you are on all levels of experience. You change everything. Look at it this way, by analogy. Imagine in your mind, if you will, right now, in what you call your imagination, a blue cube. It has six blue sides. Now change one side and one side only to red. There are now two ways to look at this. You can say, as is representative of the way that people on your planet have typically thought, well, there's that blue cube, but one of its sides has changed to red. But it's the same cube with one red side. Or you can say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. A cube with one red side and five blue ones is fundamentally a completely different concept than a totally blue cube. Therefore, that means it is a completely different cube. It's not the same cube. It has no connection to the blue cube. It has no history. Nothing that impacts the blue cube impacts the cube with one red side, unless, there's that clause again, unless the cube with one red side says it should be impacted by the belief system structure of the blue cube. But that's the cube's choice. Why do you choose to be impacted by things you say you don't prefer? Motivation. Definition. Motivation. They are powerful allies. Definition. Motivation. Click. Reality. If you choose something that you say ostensibly you don't prefer to choose, if you have this so-called habitual behavior, the idea is to look to your motivation, because you are never without motivation. Never for a second, ever, 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 never without motivation. You are always motivated to choose some definition, some belief system. You don't need to be motivated. You need to understand where your motivation is being placed. That's the key. So if you find that you seem to be reluctant to do something that on one level you say, well, that's what I would really prefer to do, why do I keep choosing to do this instead? It means you must, by some definition you have in your mind about this thing, be motivated to choose this instead. That means you might have a negative belief system about what it might take in order for you to really live your joy. And so, because you might think it is a struggle, too much pain to make a change, or I might fail if I want to move into my joy, and that's too much to bear, you won't even give it a shot. You will say, oh, I'm much happier just playing it safe, and so you are motivated to keep doing what you've always done, no matter how painful it might be. You are motivated because you have a belief that the change would be greater pain. So get in touch with those beliefs, with those definitions. Find out what they are, because that's all that is stopping you from doing anything and everything you desire to do. That is all. Your definitions are what seem so solid. They weigh nothing. but when you believe in them, they are made of steel. That's the nature of a belief. A belief has to be self-perpetuating, self-reinforcing, and has to, by its very definition, with few exceptions, exclude the possibility of any other belief in order for you to experience that belief totally. But with the foundational addition of the underlying belief that all beliefs are just beliefs, that all reality experiences are just the product of definition, then you can experience whatever belief you want as fully as you can in the next moment, change it like that, because you know that's all they are. That's the key. Be flexible. Have the underlying foundational definition that there is no reality except what you define it to be, and then you can experience any reality to its fullest, and in the next moment experience a totally different reality, because you will really know for a fact that you are in the next moment a completely different you, and that means a completely different universe. Totally, completely, absolutely. Every change, no matter how you may define it to seem small, every change is a total change. If you have an equation, A plus B equals C, if you change any one of those variables, does not the entire equation change? Of course it does. Change any component whatsoever, the entire equation is different. The entire reality is different. I will give you, for now, one more important definition. Fear. Fear, 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 fear. Been your friend for a long time. If you were to treat it like a friend, you would get more out of it. Fear. Pay attention. Fear is your natural true vibration filtered through a belief system that is out of tune with your true core self. Excitement is your natural vibration filtered through a belief system that is in alignment with your natural true core self. Fear and excitement are the same energy. You experience them differently because of what you filter them through. Analogy. You have on your planet the occupation referred to as piano tuners. When you are playing your piano instrument and you find the sound of the music pleasing, and then all of a sudden come across what you call to be a sour note. Plunk, 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 plunk. Do you run away in panic? And go and hide in the closet? I shall never touch my piano again. No. You say, I require to tune the piano so that the note becomes harmonious with all the other notes. Each key is like unto a definition, a belief. When you come across one that gives you the sensation of fear, all that's telling you is, hey, 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 hey. Pay attention. You have a belief in this area of your song that is out of alignment with the whole rest of the piano. Fine-tune it. Bring it back into harmony. Don't run away. Explore it. Bonk, 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 bonk. What would I have to do to tune this? How would I have to redefine it? How would I have to tighten this string in order to bring it back into tune, into alignment? Play with it. Find out until finally, bonk, 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 it's back. Explore what that definition is that allows you to feel your very own energy in the mode called fear. Because you see, also the paradox is, and paradox is a very powerful tool, when you make a friend of your fear, aha, a fear, oh joy. When you know your fear is there to tell you something you want to know, you will invite it in, and miraculously, instantly, your fear will vanish because you have transformed it into, first, curiosity, what could this mean? And then joy by being willing to explore what it means for you. That's how you use fear. Fear is just a knock at the door. Pay attention to this. This is something you want to know about yourself. This is something you need to know to integrate within yourself to become more of who you are. And wouldn't that be fun? Of course. So pay attention to the fear. Don't ignore it. Feel it. By all means, feel it as fully as you can. And then dive in to the unknown. Dive into the fear. Let it wash through you. Feel all the sensations that go along with it, and then let your fear ignite you. Ignite your burning curiosity. What could this possibly mean? What definition would I have to believe in order to experience my own energy in this way? What could it be? I wonder. Then explore. Find out what you believe. Find out what kind of definitions you have about reality. And rewrite them. Reinvent them. Redefine them. Be creative. Use your imagination. That's what it's for. Once you do that, I guarantee, and not only do I guarantee, the infinite has guaranteed, you will get the result of the change you make, as long as you make it on all levels. Thought, word, and deed. Belief, emotion, action. Complete the circuit. Believe in your belief, as you always have. And reality and the universe and the infinite will always support you as it always has. But it can only support you to the degree and in the direction you believe is most true for you. But it is up to you to define what is that truth, because the secret is all truths are true. That's the nature of the infinite. Otherwise, it wouldn't be infinite now, would it? All truths are true. All are equal and valid. Choose which is you. And live that truth until you change your mind about what is now in the next moment true for you. And live that truth until you change your mind. Until the excitement shifts direction. Follow that excitement every moment, every moment, every moment, no matter what form it comes in, follow it. Act on it to the best of your ability, because that's who you are. Even though it may not come to fruition in the way that you think, even though it may not live up to your expectations, follow it, because it will put you where you need to be, because excitement is the thread you need to follow, not how things look on the surface. Because the surface is an illusion. It's the feeling, it's the knowing that counts. Follow it, because that's who and what you are. And that's really all there is to it. That's what it's all about. And therefore, I urge you, not telling you what to do, because as we said, we have enough to do, without going around telling you how to live your own life, but we strongly suggest, for your own ecstasy, we strongly suggest that you live your dreams instead of just dreaming about being alive. We leave you with that. And at this timing, We extend once again to each and every one of you our deepest and heartfelt appreciation in allowing our civilization to communicate with you in this way through this gate, allowing me to function as a representative of the respective civilizations I represent. We thank you for dreaming us into your reality and allowing us to dream you into ours. Our unconditional love to you, a fond and exciting and active good day. I guess you had a good time. takes me just a second to reorient. It's kind of like waking up out of a daydream. Thank you all very much for being here again. thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to seeing you again. Have a good night. Thank you. Thank you.